whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Sex on Fire was their great breakthrough. Now they are riding again, but this time inside of a Mustang, Kings of Leon. Hi and welcome to Rock Antenna, Nathan Fodderwill.
Hello, hello.
We'll talk about the Mustang, but first you have released a new album, Can We Please Have Fun, it is called. Haven't you had much fun lately? Is that the name that you name your album like this?
The name came from when we started to make this record. We had left our record label, so we were just making this record on our own. So when we went in there to make the record, that was kind of like the motto of like, there's not really pressure on us like other records have been to make a record, then turn it into the record label and see if they like it or not. We had all the freedom in the world on this one. So it was like, let's just have fun with it. Can we please have fun? And especially coming from our last record, having to be delayed because of COVID and all of that stuff, that was a totally different time for us. And that wasn't really that much fun for us. So this record, we decided to take full advantage of being able to have fun.
That's great. What was the experience that you enjoyed the most in the last few days where you had a lot of fun?
Ooh, let's see. I got to play one of my favorite golf courses last week. That was a lot of fun for me. Let's see. I don't know. I'm a dad now. So fun for me, I love to go watch my daughter. She plays softball. So I love to go to her games and cheer. And she gets embarrassed when I cheer too loud for her. So I have to cover my mouth sometimes so I don't embarrass her. But I'm every day is fun. I'm loving being with my family.
So she's too young for playing golf.
Oh no, they take golf lessons. She'll be able to beat me probably in about 2 years, I say.
I really like the cover of your album too. It has a touch of 60s aesthetics. What does the decade mean to you?
The 60s? Oh, wow. That was a hell of a decade. You had Woodstock, you had free love, free everything. And the art from that era as well, like you touched on, it's very it's a very distinct looking type of art from that era. 60s would have been a fun time to live in.
So let's talk a little bit more about the music from the 60s. Is there one more rock band from that time that you particularly love?
Ooh, I would say Jimi Hendrix would be my person from the 60s that I would say that I love. One of his songs came on the radio the other day. My son is 6 and in the back seat, and he was like, Dad, what is this? Like, what? I was like, Jimi Hendrix. I'm like, this music is old, old, old. He was like, oh, it sounds like it's on the radio today. Like, wow. So the fact that my 6-year-old can hear that now and still be moved by it, it's like, that's pretty cool. And I can only hope that one day, 50 years from now, someone will play one of our songs for their kid and they'll be like, man, that drummer, he was a really, really good looking guy.
So you're doing a really great job as a dad when your kids love Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, our kids are being raised right. Our friends come over and they're like, there is music playing constantly at your house. Like, we always have music from the mornings until we go to bed at night. There's always music playing through the house. And our kids, our daughter, she's 11, and she had a school concert the other day. And she was supposed to play the drums, and then they pulled her part. So we go to the play. I'm like, I'm so excited to see you play the drums. And she's like, Dad, they took my part away. I'm not playing the drums. Like, I'm like, that's okay, baby. Like, you'll still sing beautiful and you'll still do amazing. Like, so it comes time, the play is going, and they say, and now on the drums, Violet Followill. So she had tricked us and she got up there and played so phenomenally. I mean, I was crying. My wife said, are you crying? I was like, yeah, I'm crying. But she played so amazingly. And we're just very, very blessed and happy to have kids that love music and want to play. And we never forced it on them. Me and my wife, we were like, if they ask us for a drum set or ask for a guitar, or we'll do it. But I never wanted my kids to feel like, you know, the day they were born, here's a drumstick and you've got to play drums like your daddy played the drums. But no, they have both just chosen to play music on their own. And we love it. We might have to start a different family band.
And now in your house, there's some more music from your new album. I listened to it. And on first listen, some songs sound a bit bulkier than we used to from you. But after a few listens, they are the biggest brainworms. How do you do that?
All of our music, I would say most of our records, I tell, they're like growers. Like, you listen to them, they sound totally different to you the fifth time than the first time you listen to them. And that's just something that we've always done. I don't know if it's ever been anything like we've intentionally like tried to mess with people. That's just kind of the way it always just seems to happen with our music. And this record that Can We Please Have Fun? I remember we made it. We did the last two songs in Los Angeles. We did the first 10 in Nashville. Then we went to LA to mix the record and we did two more songs there. But listening to the record in Tennessee and listening to the record in Los Angeles, two totally different vibes. Like, you felt two totally different ways. So for me, that was kind of a way for me to see like what you just described right there. I was like, oh, wow. Like, this is what people mean when they say it can sound a totally different way after listening to it a certain amount of times or in a different setting or something like that. So very cool. I hope you like the brainworms.
When I wouldn't know Kings of Leon, I would have said, and I really mean it in the best way, the album is written by an indie band. You sound so fresh, so experimental, so lighthearted. But you're not an indie band. You're fucking Kings of Leon. Why is that the sound that you wanted to create?
Man, it's just where we were musically at this time. I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but this was by far the funnest record we've ever made, the most fun we've ever had, the closest we've ever been as family, as a band, as whatever you want to call it. Just best headspace we could have possibly been in. Kid Harpoon, our producer, absolute sweetheart, just super chill, just go with the flow. But he was also a fan of our earlier music. And so listening back to our record now, I can hear certain songs where I'm like, oh, he used a sound that we could have used on Aha Shake Heartbreak. Or, oh, that sound could have been on Youth and Gun Manhood. Or so he definitely in a sneaky way, kind of got us to be that youthful, find that youthful energy again. And not be scared to be guys in our 40s that are still playing like we're in our 20s. And I think that's a huge part of it. It's just, we were just having so much fun in there. And, you know, you associate youth with fun. And we were having so much fun that we just kind of tapped back into that youthful energy that we had early on.
And you can hear it. You can really hear it. And one of these catchy tunes is your first single from the album. That's where you get into the Mustang. Why of all these cars is it the Mustang?
It's so funny that it was about, it's not about a car. It's about a horse, about an actual Mustang. And it's actually Caleb wrote the lyrics to it, but he was sitting there and he had the melody and he knew it was a good melody, but he was like going through the lyrics and his son had a t-shirt on that had a Mustang on it. And his daughter was watching a YouTube video about kittens because they had just bought a new kitten. And so she was watching videos. And so he had the melody. He's like, are you a Mustang? And then he said the shirt. He's like, are you a Mustang or a kitty? And they're calling, yeah. And so I think at first that was just kind of like a, just a lyric, just a stick in there until we moved on to something else. And when he played it for us, we're like, wow, like that's a, like, I'll tell you what, for Mustang, it was the last song we recorded in Nashville before we went to LA. And we were having lunch. Me and Caleb and Jared all finished lunch early for some reason that day. Everyone else was still in there eating. The producer, everyone was still eating. And so Caleb's like, hey, I've been working on this riff. Like, and he played it for us. Well, as soon as he played it one time, me and Jared immediately went. Jared put on his bass. I got on the drums, put my headphones on. And Caleb played it for us. And the bass part that you hear on that song and the drums you hear on that song are the very first things we played when we heard that. And all of a sudden, we're in there playing it. And then the producer comes running in. And then Matthew comes in and gets his guitar. And they're like, what the hell is this? Where did this song come from? And it was recorded and done within hours. Like it was, that was it. It was just one of those magical moments where everything just fell into place and Matthew picked up and immediately just started playing along with it. Like we had been rehearsing the song for months. And so that's just, it was just one of those special moments. The last three songs on the record are probably my favorite songs. That would be Mustang, Ballerina Radio, and Split Screen are the last three we did. I don't want to say they're my favorite. They're all my favorites. I love them all. I'm still in the honeymoon phase. They're all my babies.
So when you're describing the recording of Mustang, can you tell me what the song Mustang is about?
Well, Caleb wrote that one. So I can just, from my personal, from having heard it and played it, I take from it, and Caleb might say that's totally wrong, but Mustang is the fierce, you know, powerful, this, you know, force of nature. So... are you wanting to be powerful in that moment or are you wanting to be as innocent as a kitty? And so that's what I took from it. The balance of the two and choosing between the two, which one of those you are. And hey, I think you can be both. I think sometimes you can be a Mustang and sometimes you can be a kitty. You don't have to just be one.
When was the last time you felt yourself like a Mustang?
Oh, let's see. Probably when I beat my brothers at golf a few weeks ago. I must say, I don't know. Working out and probably just working out in the gym, just pumping to an Idols song.
And when was the last time you felt yourself innocent?
Oh, man. Probably reading to my son in bed last night, reading a bedtime story when I'm with the kids. I'm very affectionate. I'm a big hugger. I like to cuddle and snuggle and hug. And especially when I'm home, I like to just charge up all those batteries while I can. Cause when I'm on tour and I miss my family, I'm like, oh, but I got so much cuddle time in while I was at home. So, yeah, so probably when I'm with my kids, I'm a kitty, and when I'm on the drums, I'd say I'm a Mustang.
Nathan, you are celebrating your 25th anniversary this year, right?
According to, it depends on who you go by. I think some people say when you first start writing your first song, that's when the band starts. Others say when you actually have the band playing together, that's when it starts. So 25 years of writing songs, but we are at year 23 of like playing songs. But still,
I really
that amazes me that.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I said that still amazes me to this day that we are still doing this 20 plus years after. So cool.
Yeah, I really would be interested to know what your secret is. You are all related and there are sometimes arguments between siblings, right? So how have you been getting along so well for this long?
I mean, you know each other so well that as easy as it is to push a button and pick a fight with somebody, you also know how easy it is to make that person feel good and to make up with that person. So we used to always say that, you know, you fight like bandmates, but you make up as family. And so that's kind of how we always did it. Because at the end of the day, you're still going to get on stage and play with each other. You're still going to make records. It got to the point to where we're so close as a family that if we weren't in a band together, we would still be together all the time, holidays, birthdays. And so it came to the point where like we could either not be in a band and get together all the time, or we could be in a band, get to travel the world, make good money for our families and still get to do all that stuff as well. Like that wasn't a hard choice. It was like, oh, obviously pick the path where we still get to do what we love, which is play music, but get to bring our family along with us. And that's the difference. That's that we're all related and we can bring our whole families with us. And it's not a band where the lead singer can bring his family out, but nobody else can bring their family out or, you know, something like that. So it keeps us being related and being family. It keeps you honest because you know everything about the other person. So there's no secrets. It's all out on the table, and that can be good or bad. But for us, it's mainly good because we're just so happy where we're at right now and then just in such a good place and just enjoying the ride.
That sounds like a dream. Nathan, thank you very much for your time. I hope you have a really successful album release with Can We Please Have Fun? We're definitely excited. And of course, have a great tour this summer, especially in Germany. Have a good one.
I love it. We love Germany. We can't wait to see you all.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.